48th chapter of the book of Isaiah, please. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. We're going to start at verse number 1, please. Hear ye this, O house of Jacob, which are called by the name of Israel, and are come forth out of the waters of Judah, which swear by the name of the Lord and make mention of the God of Israel, but not in truth, not in righteousness. For they call themselves of the holy city and stay themselves upon the God of Israel. The Lord of hosts is his name. I have declared the former things from the beginning, and they went forth out of my mouth, and I showed them, and I did them suddenly, and they came to pass. But I knew that thou art obstinate, and thy neck is an iron sinew, and thy brow brass. I have even from the beginning declared it to thee. Before it came to pass, I showed it thee, lest thou shouldest say, mine idol hath done them, and my graven image, and my molten image hath commanded them. Thou hast heard, see all this, and will not ye declare it? I have showed thee new things from this time, even hidden things that thou didst not know them. They are created now, and not from the beginning, even before the day when thou heardest them not, lest thou shouldest say, behold, I knew them. Yea, thou heardest not, yea, thou knewest not. Yea, from that time that thine ear was not open, for I knew that thou wouldest deal very treacherously, and wast called a transgressor from the womb. And for my name's sake will I defer mine anger, and for my praise will I refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. For mine own sake, even for mine own sake will I do it. For how should my name be polluted, and I will not give my glory unto another? Hearken unto me, O Jacob, and Israel, my called. I am he, I am the first, I am also the last. My hand also hath laid the foundation of the earth, my right hand has spanned the heavens. When I call unto them, they stand up together. All ye assemble yourselves and hear, which among them hath declared these things. The Lord hath loved him. He will do his pleasure on Babylon, and his arm shall be on the Chaldeans. I have spoken, yea, I have called him. I have brought him, and he shall make his way prosperous. Come ye near unto me, hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning, from the time that it was, there am I. And now the Lord God in his Spirit has sent me. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Let us pray. Father, again thanking you so much for the precious Bible, the Word of God. It's your Word, Father. It's true. We know that, every word of it, every jot and tittle. And we just ask you this day to, Lord, help us to take the Word of God and just be a blessing to this people. Lord, the only way we know how to do that is just preach your Word to them. And Lord, I just ask you to help Lord, give me the power and wisdom I need today to do that which you've appointed for me. Now, Lord, again, I pray that the Word of God will be heard and listened to, and, Father, we'll be helped by it. And I pray, Lord, should there be anyone here that is not saved, Father, I pray for that salvation of that soul and ask you to be honored and glorified as you give the increase. We'll thank and praise you in the lovely name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. In this portion of Scripture, Israel is in captivity in Babylon. And verse 18 is basically my text. He says, Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments. In other words, what God was saying was simply this. It was not necessary for them to be there. It did not have to be that way. And I think that is true for us too. I believe there's many things that happen to us in life. It's basically there because we would not listen to the commandments of God. Oh, that we would just hearken to the commandments of God. Oh, that we would just listen to God's commandments and mind what he says. There'd be so many things that we would not have to go through. Do you believe that? Do you think that's true? Well, you know, God looked here at Israel and he said it was not necessary for you to go through that. It did not have to be that way. No, you just did not hearken to the commandments of God. You know, the whole purpose of mankind is to glorify God. Do you know that's why we are put on this earth? Is to bring glory and honor unto the Lord. Yeah, amen. That's why he put us there. We're not here to follow our desires and our wants of life and all of those things. Now, he gives us many things and he blesses us, oh my goodness, over and over and over. But the purpose that God has put us here is to glorify and honor his name. That's why you was given life. You see, that's why God brings new children into the family. And the reason I'm telling you that, because I got a great-grandson, as far as we know, coming here pretty soon. And my prayer is that he will honor and glorify God all the days of his life. Because that's what God brought him into this world to do. That was his purpose, and that's my purpose and your purpose. And to do that, the only way we can do that is to obey God. We must obey, not patronize God. Not just do some things once in a while that we think we can get his okay on and maybe would please him just a little. No, he wants our obedience. He wants us to obey him, you see. The precious Bible, the Word of God, we need to obey it. You know, we would have so a small amount of troubles if we just do what the Scripture says, that the Bible teaches us that whatsoever we do in word or deed, do all to the glory of God. Amen. Do you know it would just take care of so many things? If before we speak, we'd just say, God, would that glorify you? Amen. I mean, wouldn't that handle some things? That take care of some things. Before we get up and put on clothes of a morning, and we just say, Lord, how would you have me dress today that would glorify? I think he would take care of just about everything. You see, we just need to learn to obey God and whatever he tells us to do so that we can honor and glorify him. I think, you know, if we'd ask him about where we go, I think if we'd just ask him and see if it would glorify him where we go, I think it would just take care. A lot of the questions, whether I could go here or not, would not be asked. Don't you think that's true? You see, if we just, in our hearts, see, we just say, God, what do you want us to do? You see, what's your word? How does it instruct us and teach us? In what way should we go today? You know, it would just take care of so many things. See, and that would please God. And that's what the purpose we've been on this earth to do. I'm going to go back just for a few moments. You mark your place here in Isaiah, but I'm going to go back to the book of Deuteronomy. Book of Deuteronomy, please. Let me see here. I think the 30th chapter. 30th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. I just want you to listen for a few moments what God said to Israel. And there's so many verses we could go to, but I believe this is the one I should read to you in chapter 30, in verse number 15. He said, see, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments. Did you hear what God said? See, he said, what I want you to do is walk in the ways of God today. And I want you to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments. See, that's pretty simple. No, that's pretty simple. God said, just get up and today just walk in my ways. and keep my commandments and my judgments, that thou mayest live. You see, there's a blessing, because if we do that, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thy heart turn away so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. And he said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Well, let's read verse 20. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto the fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Now, when I read this, I'll tell you what God is saying. Israel, he's saying it to us. You know, I just give you a choice. What are you going to choose? You can choose life or death. You can choose either good or evil. And the thing that really came out to me as I read this portion of scripture was verse number 19. At the end of it, he said, you can, let's see, and death and blessing and cursing, therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. I was thinking, the way I live matters to my seed. It matters to those coming behind me. You see, it matters. How I choose to live matters. You see, because I've got children. I've got grandchildren, great-grandchildren. And how I live matters to them. Amen? You see, in other words, what God is just simply saying to us, that obedience is the key to blessings. Obeying God is the key to blessings. He said, I'll bless you. I could take you over to Leviticus and read some more scripture, not going to, but we could read over, and that's what he says over there. He said, if you do right, if you do this, oh, I'll bless you. And then he says over in about 14th verse over there, he says, if you don't do this, this is going to happen. You see, so God gives us a choice. Oh, I'd say to you young people today, oh, choose God. Amen. Choose life. Amen. Choose good. Don't choose evil. Choose good. Because it's going to make a difference throughout your whole life. Amen? And it's going to make a difference to those who come after you, you see. So God is telling us that the key to blessings of God is obedience to God. That we would just simply obey him. Now, I said this earlier. Now, I'm not going to repeat all of it. But we just get up of a morning and decide. We just do whatever we do. We'll do it to the glory of God. Oh, it settles so many things. It would take care of so many problems that we would have, you see. Just do what God wants us to do. Amen? See, it'd take care of so many things. Now, God, when he gives to us his mercy, and he gives to us his wonderful grace, and he allows us by the grace of God to be saved in salvation, he does that. It's free. I mean, you can't purchase it. You can't buy it. I don't care where you go. You'll never find it on a grocery store shelf. It's something God gives, and it's free, and it can only come from him. But you listen to me. After he gives us that free, there's some things he wants us to do. Now, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, he said, you're mine now. You're saved by the grace of God. Now you're to keep my commandments. Commandments of God, you see. And so some responsibility comes upon us, you see. Obedience to God Almighty opens the door to God's blessings. And I'm just going to say to you, folks, you know, there's so many things that would be taken care of if we just mind God. No, I'm serious. I'm talking about it for all of us. If we just mind God, if we just do what he says in his word, you see, it opens the door to the blessings of God. The Bible says that Christ humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Jesus humbled himself and became obedient. You see, if we're going to become obedient, we're going to have to be humbled. Oh, I see so much pride.
Oh, I see so much pride, and it scares me to death because I know God's going to stand against that pride. He's not going to allow it in our lives. If you're a Christian, God's not going to allow pride. Oh, no, he's not. That's a wicked thing. Pride is wicked. And I see so much pride. I'm going to do it my way. I want it my way. I want to do this. I want to do that. Selfishness. I see that over and over and over again. And God won't put up with that. God just won't put up with that. No, Jesus humbled himself, you see, and became obedient even unto death, you see. Now, what is the fruits of obedience? If you'll look in verse number 14, let's go back to the book of Isaiah. Excuse me, verse number 18 of chapter 48 of Isaiah. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments. Listen what he says. Then, if you just listened to me, if you just done what I said, did what I said, okay? Then this was what happened. He said, then had thy peace been as a river and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. I think about the gentle waves of the sea. He said your righteousness would be like that, but you'd have peace. You see, because we're disobedient, you see, we don't have peace. You understand it? See, not all of God's people have peace. They may have peace with God because of Jesus, salvation, but they don't have peace of God, and there's a difference. Do you understand that? The peace of God comes through obedience to God, and that's what he said. Oh, if you just listened, if you just listened to me and followed my commandments, he said, if you had just done that, he said, your peace would still be there. You wouldn't be in all those troubles. He was down in captivity in Babylon. You wouldn't have went through this if you just hearkened to me and done what I said. Well, I think that's true for us. You see, the peace and righteousness, the gentle waves of the sea come through obedience to God Almighty, you see. Israel's problem, listen to me, folks, Israel's problem here was not that they were not religious. Did you notice there verse 1 there in chapter 48, he said, hear ye this, O house of Jacob, which are called by the name of Israel, and are come forth out of the waters of Judah, which swear by the name of the Lord, and make mention of the God of Israel, but not in truth, not in righteousness, for they call themselves of the holy city, and stay themselves upon the God of Israel, the Lord of hosts is his name. You see, they was religious. Oh yes, they was religious. In fact, I may just do that just for a moment. We've got till 2 o'clock anyway. Chapter 1 of Isaiah. It won't take too long to just kind of read a few verses here. Chapter 1 of Isaiah. Here's what God said about religion. And look at verse number 11. He says, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I'm full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of the lambs or of he goats. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand? To tread my courts, bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of the assemblies, I cannot away with it. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. Are you hearing God? And he says, and when he spread forth your hands, and I will hide mine eyes from you, yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And we could just go on and on. God says you just need to obey me, and all of that religious stuff that don't come from the heart is worthless. I mean, do you get that? You understand what God was telling? You know, the old flesh, it can put on a show of obedience. Yeah, we can do that. Boy, we can just you know, live in such a way, you know, and think everybody's looking at us and we're doing fine. But inside, there's that old unbroken will. Oh yeah, that old unbroken will, that old unrepented heart that's going to do it my way. You understand what I'm saying? You see, that's what he said about Israel. He said, you know what, your religion, you know, it stinks. Because it didn't come from the heart. You see, and I say that God says that to us today. If it don't come from the heart, our religion stinks. It just don't mean anything. You see, we got to be sure there's that repentant heart, that broken will of ours. Understand? You see, we've got to do that. So God speaks to us. You see, God speaks to us. If you're God's child, the Holy Spirit of God is in you. And I want to tell you something. God is busy speaking to us about things. See, he speaks to us about friendships that we oughtn't to have. There's some friendships you ought not to have. No, you ought not to have. They'll do you harm. They'll hurt you. You see. You understand what I'm saying? You better check out your friendships, who you spend time with. Young people, you better listen. You better listen to that. You better see who you spend your time with, because they can bring you down in just a little time. You understand what I'm saying? You see, and the habits that we have, habits that we get into that ought not to be there, God will speak to us about those habits. I don't know if I want to call for a raise of hand, but I want to tell you, God over the years has spoke to me about a lot of things. Well, I would think he didn't love me if he didn't. He's talked to me about so many things. You understand what I'm saying? And you know what happens most of the time? We don't want to listen. We don't want to hear it. Israel was that way. They don't want to hear it. They didn't want to listen. He said, oh, if you just hearken to my commandments, wouldn't have been this way. And God speaks to us. He speaks to us about habits and sins in our life that are there. And if you're God's child, they will be chastisement. They will be. The Holy Spirit of God will get after you. See, that's one of the things that I've never understood. I'm a simple person. No, I really am. I'm just simple. I just take things simple. I think God says it. That's the way it ought to be. If God says something, he just means it. And I've read many times about men who has been wicked men who said to me, he said, you know, as soon as I got saved, God just began to get all over me about my wickedness. I had a man tell me one day, and his mouth was a filthy mess. It was. You'd know who it was if I told you. He was a filthy mess. He just cursed and terrible. He got saved, and he said, oh, he said, he came to me, and he said, you know, Pastor, he said, I'm having time with this. He said, once in a while, it slips out, and God gets all over me. See, God will get all over you if you're God's child. And then it wasn't too long after that, you know, he got it under control, and he was talking better, and all those things. You understand what I'm saying? You see, God will get all over us. And that's why I don't understand a lot of things. I don't understand about people. I don't understand about ladies that dress immodestly. No, I don't understand it. I don't understand ladies that dress immodestly where they show themselves. The Holy Spirit of God would not let my wife do that. I'm just telling you. No, it's not her. It's the Holy Spirit of God. And I look around here and I see some wonderful Christian ladies. I do, down through the years. We've just been blessed. That wouldn't dress immodestly for anything in the world. No, they just would not do it. They're not about to do it. And yet I see from time to time people who just dress immodestly. And they want to claim they're God's child. And the Holy Spirit is in them. If the Holy Spirit's in you, buddy, you've got him quenched. No, you have. You see, because God would not allow you to dress immodestly and get by with that. No, he wouldn't. What do you want to do? Show yourself. You want to advertise? Shame on you. Now, I'm serious about this. It's serious business. See, and I see this all over. I see people out that just dress terrible. Filthy dressing. Showing themselves. Don't you see that? Isn't that wicked? That's wicked. That's not of God. Never has been, never will be. No, 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 no. God's people, Holy Spirit of God, I'll guarantee you, if you're in that condition, he'll be knocking on your door and has been. You just turn him off. You're just not listening. And that's what we do. That's what Israel did to God. Just turned him off. You know, like, I don't want to hear you, you see. But let me tell you something. God has a way of just keep hammering. Just keep hammering. He sends preachers like me to bring it up. He sends our pastor quite often to bring it up. Amen. And even the thoughts of our mind. Boy, don't you have trouble with that thing? That give you any trouble? I'm not having near as much trouble as I used to because there's not near as much there. But anyway, it's a mess. That old mind just wants to waver somewhere and go somewhere where it oughtn't to go. You know, Oliver Green, you know what he used to say? He said, you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop him from building a nest in your hair. That's good preaching. Yeah, that's good preaching. Yeah, our thoughts of our life. Why do we dwell on those things? Why do we just sit and just think about those things? And God says, no, you shouldn't do that. And we just go on and do it anyway. See, what I'm saying is, we've got to start listening to God. We've got to hear him and obey him, you see. And what happens when we don't, peace is gone. He said, if you'd just listened to my commandments, he said, you'd have had peace like a river. And when we don't, the peace is gone. See, there's a lot of folk nowadays just don't have any peace. They just don't have any peace inside. No, 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 they're a mess. You see, why? Because they're so disobedient to the will of God, to the word of God. Now, let me tell you something. God does not force us. I thought of Brother Evans, my old pastor I got saved under. He used to say, no, God won't force you to do anything, but he'll sure make you wish you had a... I can still hear. Can't you hear him saying that? Yeah. Hey, he'll sure make you wish you had him. Verse number 9, let's look. He says, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times and things that are not yet done, saying my counsel. Am I in the right? No, I'm in the wrong one. Sorry. No, I'm not all right. Anyway, in verse 11, calling a ravenous bird from the east and the man that executes my counsel from afar, and I'm in the wrong one. That's all right. See what I told you? My mind's going. Now, Brother Ross, if you'll get over in chapter 48, verse 9, it takes me time sometimes. Now, for my name's sake will I defer my anger, and for my praise will I refrain from thee, that I cut thee not off. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. For mine own sake, even for mine own sake will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory unto another. What God says is this. You know what he said? He said, no, you may not listen to me. You may just do your own thing, but I've got a furnace of affliction that I'll put you in. Oh, yes, he does. Oh, yes, he does. Yeah. It's a furnace of affliction, and it's hot. Do you understand that furnace of affliction is unnecessary? No, it's unnecessary. The only reason it's necessary is because we won't obey God. We won't listen to him. We won't do what he says. And so God puts us in the furnace of affliction. I'm not talking about just the trials to build our faith. I'm talking about a furnace of affliction because of our disobedience to God Almighty. And God says it don't have to be that way. Israel spent 70 years in Babylon. 70 years in Babylon. And it was absolutely unnecessary. The only reason they was there was because of their idolatry and their disobedience to God Almighty. I'm saying to you folks, I believe it with all of my heart. Multitudes that's in the furnace of affliction and they just won't listen to God. They're there because they would not obey God. And let me tell you, God knows how to turn the heat up. Oh yeah, he does. Yeah, he does. He knows how to turn the heat up. You see, and they was there because of their disobedience to God Almighty, and it was unnecessary. But I want to say something. That pain and suffering that they suffered during that time is not the real tragedy. I say to you that pain and suffering, because you're in a furnace of affliction, you suffer sometimes because of that, is not the real tragedy. The tragedy is when you and I will not listen and won't mind God. That's the tragedy. God knocks on our door over and over and over. He knocks on our door and we won't listen to him. And we're going to do it our way. We're going to be what we want to be. And so we're in a furnace of affliction and we won't listen. It was unnecessary for us to be there to start with. Are you getting? You understand what I'm saying? You see, that's different than the trials that God puts us through to test our faith and to prove us and try us. These are furnaces of affliction. He done that to Israel because of their wickedness, because of their disobedience to God, and he put them in a furnace for 70 years. Amen? So I'm simply saying it's not a tragedy necessarily that we have to go into that. I mean, it's bad we have to, but if we won't listen, that's the tragedy. We need to listen. Nowadays, I don't know what it is. It seems like it's awful hard to get people to really listen to the Word of God. They take it as though they can just take it or leave it. You can't take God's Word or leave it. It's true. He's going to do what he says he'll do. You understand? Isn't that true for all of us? Sure. That's what God does, you see. You see, and verse 9 tells us it's for his name's sake. It's for him. It's for his name's sake that he'll be glorified. Most of us don't realize that when sin is in our life and we're not walking with God, it's a mark against God. It brings shame to him. Understand? You see, that's a real important. David understood that his sin was against God. Against him only, he said, was my sin. See, it's against God. Now, I ask the question, do we have to be reduced to ashes before we respond to God? Do we have to be brought down to the bottom before we listen? I'm not going to go there, but you ought to read Psalm 107 sometime. It talks about him that was at his wit's end. At his wit's end. I'm saying to you, a lot of folk get to their wit's end, but it's because they won't listen. They won't hear. Do we have to end up in the belly of a whale before we give in? Is that where God is going to have to put us before we listen? That's where he had to put Jonah. Belly of a whale, raging storm. He ended up down in the waters in the belly of a whale before Jonah would listen and cry out to God. And I'm saying to you, do we have to do that same thing? You see, what God wants us to do is simply turn from disobedience. I'm telling you, I told you I'm a simple person. I really believe in all my heart the things that we go through during the day and live and things that come upon our life. If we just check it out with God, it would be, you know, he would take care of so many things and give us direction in life that would be taken care of where we wouldn't have to get in a furnace of affliction. We're there because we won't listen. We just won't hear. Now, you say, Brother Ross, is there any good news? Oh, always with God, there's good news. I want you to read, as we read verse number 20. Go ye forth of Babylon, flee ye from the Chaldeans, with a voice of singing, declare ye. Tell this, utter it even to the end of the earth. Say ye, the Lord hath redeemed his servant Jacob. And they thirsted not when he led them through the deserts. He caused the waters to flow out of the rock for them. He clave the rock also, and the waters gushed out. You know what God says? And you know, really, that area from Jerusalem, from Babylon to Jerusalem was a desert area. And God says, just head on for Jerusalem. It's all right. It's a desert area, but I'll see you get water. I'll see you're taken care of. I can bring water out of the rock. You won't have to worry about it. That's what God is saying. Just get on your way. Get out of Babylon. You know, that's what God says to us. Just get out of Babylon. Get out of that we're in. Get out of there. I'll help you. I'll see your way. You understand what he's saying? I just want to deliver you. But you're going to have to listen to me. You're going to have to listen to me. You're going to have to head on for Jerusalem. Amen. You're going to have to listen. And then you see in verse number 18, listen, do you know what he's saying? The peace will return. You know, I know that I look out on this crowd. I know about this fellow here. I know whether I have peace, not only with God, but peace of God. I know that, and you know whether you do or not. Because the Christian, God wants us to have peace. And that comes through obedience to God Almighty. You see, he wants that for you. He wants you to have that sweet peace. He wants you to be able to get up in the morning, even when the winds are raging and the storms are outside. Don't make a difference. Inside, there's a great peace of God. There's the joy of God inside. You see, nobody can take that away from you. They may take your happiness away, but they'll never take the joy of God out of our heart. They can't do it. It's impossible because God gives it. You understand what I'm saying? That's for the Christian. For the lost person, the only way you're going to find peace is to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You'll never know it any other way. Did you notice what verse 22 said? He said, there is no peace, saith the Lord, with the wicked. Let me tell you who the wicked are. The wicked are those who have never trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. You say, Brother Ross, I've never been saved and I'm not wicked. Oh, yes, you are. Yes, you are. You're wicked as can be. You're a wicked sinner. God says you are. You've never been willing to come to that place in your life where you're willing to admit that you're an old rotten sinner, lost, hopelessly lost, and that's your condition, and that you need Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You have no peace. Say, no, don't tell me you do. You have none. God says you don't. You do not have peace. And I'm saying to you, you can have. You can have. You can come to the wonderful Savior who loves you so much, that he died on the cross for you and paid all your sin debt, and all he wants you to do is come to him and say, oh, I'm just that old sinner and I want to receive Jesus as my personal Savior. And God will give you the peace that passes all understanding. Amen. Now you see, Christian, I don't know where you're at. Have no idea. Don't need to know. God knows. But if you don't really have the peace of God, you need to get God's peace. Peace, not only with him, but get the peace, the wonderful peace of God that passes all understanding. And that comes through obedience. Amen. Is there something in your life that God has been hammering on? Maybe for weeks, maybe for months, or maybe for years. He's been hammering at your door over and over and over and over, and you just will not listen. You'll never have the peace that God wants you to have. That only comes through obedience. Let us pray. Father, thanking you again today for your kindness and your goodness, your wonderful grace. And I ask you, Lord, please help us to hearken unto the commands of God. They're very plain. They're very simple. And Lord, when we know to do right, to not do it is sin. And I ask you, God, please, please, please work on hearts that your honor and glory may be magnified here this day. If there's a Christian here today that can just say, you know what, Father, there have been some things that you've been just hammering on me about, and I know I need to do something about it. Today I'm going to give it to you. That'd be a wonderful thing. If there's any here that's unsaved, you don't know for sure that you're God's child, and you'd like to come today and receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we would certainly encourage you to come and become a Christian today. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.